Lord, we bless you and we thank you, Lord. And here we are once again, Lord. And it's me standing in the need of prayer, Lord. And just thank you for your word. How your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord. As we try our best to navigate through a dark, broken, fallen, decaying, and dying world. And God, you've given us the blueprint, which is your word. So we thank you, Lord. Speak to us through your word. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us, change us, convict us, Lord. Encourage us to keep moving forward in your word, to keep walking with Christ, to keep trusting God with each and every step as we walk by faith and not by sight, trusting in your holy word, Lord. Yes, we do, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we ask that you speak to us now. Holy Spirit, continue to rule and reign throughout this service. Heal, deliver, set free, touch hearts, touch minds, convict, challenge, change. God, as only you can. We plant, we water, but God, you give the increase this morning. Not by power, not by might, but by your spirit, Lord. Work through us. We are the clay and you are the potter, and we surrender to you now, Lord. Speak to us through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as we continue our journey through the wilderness, here we are. We find ourselves back at Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10 and 1. So we'll start with a quick review and then we'll get into the reasons why they were, why the 11-day trip took 40 years. And why they didn't make it. It was five reasons they didn't make it into the promised land. So remember, they had a promised land. God has a promise for us. His promise is life and that more abundantly. A complete, fulfilled life in Christ. That's our promise. Filled with all the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the peace, the joy, the goodness, the gentleness, the meekness, the faith, the temperance. God has a promise for us to have a complete life in every aspect of our life and everything that we do. Everywhere we go, God wants us to be complete in him. The enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy, to prevent us from doing anything that God's called us to do. So we're going to establish right now, as we did in prior messages, that the world is the wilderness. They had a literal wilderness. We have a figurative wilderness, but it's still the wilderness. Ours is called the world. The same five things that prevented them from reaching the promised land, the same five things that reaches that prevents us from reaching the promise of the complete life that God has for us. So we have to be on guard. So we've established that the world is a wilderness. Let me see. I have some read this. Start off with the revelation. As we go through the five things, we aren't judging you because you're doing these five things, because at some point in all our life, we've done them.
Amen.
Here's the issue. We don't want you to forget God's promise, his promise of life and that more abundantly. We don't want you to live an incomplete, frustrated, unfulfilled life and die in your dysfunction and never experience the purpose and promise for your life that God has. That's what this whole thing is about. You say, well, Pastor, the world is a wilderness. I don't know if you've checked lately. But from the fires to the floods, to you can't go to a church or a temple or a synagogue and worship or a school or anywhere without hoping someone doesn't come in and start shooting up the place. We're literally and figuratively in the wilderness. And I don't know about you, but you got to understand fast that all we really have is God.
Amen.
That's all we really have is God. And then it kind of hits home for us. Indirectly, it hits home. Dr. West, he spoke here, last month. His daughter is a student at Pepperdine. And so she's an RA, and I was talking with Dr. West last night, and he was saying that she's home, she's safe, but one of the young ladies in her dorm was at that bar and got the freshman, was the one who got killed. You know, just but by the grace of God. He said that his daughter was just interacting with the family. They're all excited. They're getting moved into their dorm. And we have some college students in here that's in college, going to college, and they're all excited. And then here we are, what is November? Don't make it through your first semester because we're in the wilderness and Satan doesn't play. He doesn't know how. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. So we're going through the wilderness. And all I can say is to our youth and those of us that are not so young, stay close to Christ because you just don't know. God help us as we all journey through the wilderness. So look how it starts. Look at verse 1. So Paul tries to put it in perspective from the beginning as he's talking to the Corinthians. And family, this has to be a foundation that we understand. Moreover, brethren, which means family. I would not that you should not be ignorant. Don't be stupid. Don't be misinformed that you should. Don't be misinformed how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Paul is saying our history is different than the world's history. I could have got one amen right there, but I'm going to try it again. Our history as Christians is different from the world's history. It's different. We can't get caught up into that. Pastor, make it plain. I will. Darius, take us to Luke 14, 25. Because we call ourselves Christians, but even let's get deeper. Let's call ourselves disciples of Christ, which means I'm following Christ. People use the term Christian loosely. I'm talking about, are you a disciple? Are you a follower of Christ? It's a big difference. You're not on the fringes. I'm following him. I am a disciple. I live my life according to the word. So we look at Luke 12 and 25. So this is, if you don't understand this, then you're not going to understand how to conduct yourself in the wilderness. You're not going to understand it. So I have to set the foundation. All right, so here we go. I'm sorry, Luke 14, 25. Amen. Just seeing if y'all paying attention, that's all. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And there went great multitudes with him, talking about Jesus. And he turned and said unto them, he turned and pointed his finger in their face, I'm sure. And he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brothers and his sisters, yeah, and his own life, underline his own life, he can't be my disciple. That's our history right there. Jesus said, I supersede all. He's not talking about hate, but he's talking about rising above, put Christ above all that. History is Christ and Christ crucified. But look at this. He's saying, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to forsake your father, your mother, your spouse, and your children, and your siblings, and your own life. That's a problem, I know. Because, you know, I'm African-American. He said, no, you got to forsake that. That doesn't supersede being a disciple of Christ. Where I'm a Latino or a Latin, that does not supersede being a disciple of Christ. Well, you know, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. It doesn't. Well, you don't understand what my people went through so I can have the right to vote. Oh, I get that. But you don't know what Christ went through. You don't understand what Christ went through so he could save you and you have eternal life. All right. By the way, which you didn't have a right to. Because we all deserved hell. Oh, I hope y'all still love me after this. No, come on now. Let's get this right. We got to forsake all that foolishness because it comes with an air of pride. Because I'm from here or I'm from there. He said, you got to hate your own life. If you're going to truly be his disciple, we got to set the stage. So when we get, as we go through the wilderness, we can't get caught up in the same stuff they get caught up in. Because we understand we're a disciple of Christ and my life really doesn't matter. He says you got to forsake, let me see what I use, your political party. Y'all know that's a big, if y'all don't realize that we're in the wilderness, just watch the news for 5 minutes. It's a big, silly mess. And some of us that are older, I mean, you haven't seen stuff so stupid and such a double standard until you just watch some of this stuff. And this is, you really, you want to put your trust in that? Are you serious? You want to put your trust in a vote? Oh, we got to go out and vote. Really? Oh, I get that. Okay, I'm going to vote. I am. But my trust is in Jesus Christ. I get that. Yeah, I did vote. But my trust is in Jesus Christ. I'm not depressed on who wins or who loses. It does not matter. It's inconsequential to me. God said, pray for all those that are in authority. That's our job. If my people who are called by my name, he's talking to us, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear and then he will heal. That's on us. This ain't talking about no vote. He said, if you can't forsake your brother, your father, your mother, your spouse, you put God before them. And then I added the social media and the mainstream media and your political party and your race and your culture, your ethnicity and all your so-called rights. You got to forsake all that garbage. God's drawing a line in the sand. And you got to decide which side you're on. All right, let's go back to Corinthians. Now let's get to the wilderness. So you have a frame of reference. Who are you committed to while you're in the wilderness? Because it's a bunch of stuff going on. And I don't have to tell you that. Jesus said you got to carry your cross and just deny yourself, pick up your cross. You got to endure. The cross is symbolic with self-denial. It's the toughest one. He said you got to carry your cross. You got to deny yourself. You got to endure and deny yourself as you go through. All right, verse 2, and we were all back at 1 Corinthians 10 and 2, and we were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, this is all review, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock and followed them, and that rock was Christ. Make a note that Christ was with them in the wilderness. We know that the Old Testament is Christ concealed, the New Testament is Christ revealed. Christ was there, he's always been there. Amen. Says, but with many of them, the many represents 2.5 million that died in the wilderness, never got to the promise of God. I don't know about you, but that is alarming. The fire alarm is going off. These were the children of God, the so-called children of God. These were so-called, as we would say, Christians, and they didn't make it. They didn't fulfill their purpose. They didn't get to the promise. Because they got distracted in the wilderness and they died in their dysfunction. Verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were just laid out dead in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things. That was the first thing. They became the evil thing. They just lusted after evil things. All the works of the flesh, which is explained in Galatians 5 and 16. That's what they were all about. In the wilderness. Why does a trip that should take 11 days took 40 years and you die and never make it? Because you're into the wrong stuff and you forget what God has for you. And remember what I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't be ambitious. I'm not saying don't follow your dreams. I'm not saying don't be successful. What I am saying is don't forget God and don't get caught up and don't die in some dysfunction in the wilderness. Amen. So that was number one. And then Verse 6 again. Now, these were our examples to the end. We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 7, neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And as we remember, they built the golden calf. And we saw how impatience leads to idol worship. They got so impatient waiting for Moses. Number one, they were looking to Moses and not God. So they were looking at a man and not God, which was a huge problem. And then when the man took too long, then they found something else, a golden calf. As much as I love being your pastor, I am not God. I'm just a representation. I'm the voice through the word of God, but I am not. You don't look to me, you look to God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you call me and you can't get to me, don't fall apart. Go right to God. Matter of fact, and we have in educations, we're working with these teachers. We have this rule is three before me. Talk to three other people before you talk to me. OK, but here that's the Father, Son and the Holy Ghost before you call me. And all I'm doing is confirming what they already told you. Three before me. Somebody say amen. If a teacher call, hey, professor, I was one. Who have you? Who else have you talked to? No. Three before me. I'm trying to hear all that. Go talk to your colleagues. So keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on Christ. That's the best advice. Keep your eyes in this word. As the men, and we were digging deep in the wisdom of God yesterday in Proverbs 3, Proverbs 8, and Galatians 3. Oh, my gosh. Begging for the wisdom of God. It's to be desired more than anything else. Not stuff, not a person, but the wisdom of God. So then we get to verse 8, and this is where we pick it up. So they were lusting after evil things, they worshiped golden calves, and then they were just sleeping around. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. 23 people dropped dead because they were sleeping around in the wilderness. What are you doing in the wilderness while you're waiting on God? While you're waiting on Moses? While you're not waiting on God, you sleep around and die right there. Oh, my. All right. So, So we have to talk about it. For fornication, oh my gosh. So fornication in the Old Testament, being a prostitute, male or female, unlawful lusts, practicing idolatry. It's a form of idol worship because you start worshiping the act of sex and you start worshiping the person. In the New Testament, fornication, they all come from the word, the root word porneia, where we get the porno. So what are you doing in the wilderness? And it also says, in the New Testament, the fornication, it's homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, means sleeping with animals, sleeping with relatives. I'm just telling you what the word says. So we put in the proper context. This is everything they're doing in the wilderness. Eating food, also eating food offered to idols. That's why you always should bless your food. Somebody say amen. So you say, Pastor, so we got to talk about sex this morning. Yeah, we do. And we got our youth here. I'm glad our youth are here this morning because it directly involves them because the world is painting a picture that's a lie. And we have our purpose and purity class. So our youth, we talk about it. We've been talking about it for 4 years. So the adults, if y'all uncomfortable, get with it.
Right.
All right. And then, you know, by being in education, you guys, it's just a whole just bunch of garbage. And they passed these California Healthy Youth Act of 2016, which took effect in January of 2016, the curriculum which they're teaching our kids now. It's in the curriculum. When planning, I'm reading right from the curriculum instruction. When planning lessons, instructions and materials on sexual health content must affirmatively recognize diverse sexual orientations and include examples of same-sex relationships and couples. It has to be in the curriculum. So if you're a health teacher, and you're planning a health lesson, you have to teach this now. California. Schools and districts must ensure that educators have the training, resources, and support to teach these subjects effectively. This is all in the framework, the policy. This is law in California. So you say we shouldn't talk about this in church, but they're talking about it everywhere else. Oh, and this is the middle school curriculum. All right, so we're starting in middle school. And in elementary school, they already have the books where John has two dads and they love each other. And Sally has two moms and they love each other. So if we don't talk about it, our youth will go uninformed, ill-informed, and say, Pastor, why you didn't tell us all this stuff? That's why we talk about it. And that's why I meet with them every fourth Sunday. So we can talk about it. They're going to do whatever they're going to do. But when I see them in 10 years, they will not be able to say, Pastor, why didn't you tell me? Pastor told you. I mean, this is really alarming. Schools and districts must ensure that educators have training, resources, and support to teach these subjects effectively, and the school environment is welcoming, inclusive, and safe for LGBTQ plus students. Wait, it gets better. It gets better, man. I mean, this stuff is in writing. When implementing instruction, students should not be separated or segregated by gender or other demographic characteristics. The usage, now we've got to break down LGBTQ. The use of LGBTQ plus throughout this document is intended to represent an inclusive and ever-changing spectrum and understanding of identities. Historically, the acronym included lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, but has continued to expand to include queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, allies, and alternative identities. So now, hold up. So now it's LGBTQQIA, as well as expanding concepts that may fall under this umbrella term in the future. So we're going to keep adding to this stuff in our schools. So I just I said, well, let's just make it real simple and let's just put three letters. How about S-I-N? And in addition to what SIN means, I have an acronym myself. Simply Insane Nonsense. We have to talk about this. This is our schools. I have Christian teachers saying, Pastor, I'm not going to teach. I might lose my job because I refuse to teach this garbage. In the middle of the wilderness, we have to take a stand. We have to draw the line in the sand. In the beginning, God created male and female. Let's keep it simple. And even if you want to tell me you were born like that, Jesus said in John 3:3, you must, all of us must be born again, because we came off the assembly line defective with sin because of Adam and Eve. That's right. So we all need to be born again. It's no big sin and no little sin. We all need to be born again. Amen. If we're going to see the kingdom of God. I don't care what you were born like. We talked about it yesterday in the men's meeting. Well, you know, my grandma was like so I'm just the way. No, you're not. You don't have to be like that. You can be born again. And they're not your example. Jesus Christ is. Don't come telling me, well, you know, this. Everybody in my family is like this. I don't want to hear that. If you don't deny them, that's why Jesus said you got to deny that foolishness and yourself. You got to deny that foolishness and yourself. You can be born again. You don't have to live like that. None of us have to live like that. And we're not separating sins. We're just, the reality of it is we're all sinners saved by grace. But our kids and our youth and family, my job is to inform all of us. I was telling Sister Hazel, I saw her yesterday, like, Sister Hazel, I hope they love me after this, okay? As your pastor, I'm not going to lighten up. I'm not. Because the world's not lightening up. I'm not going to lighten up. I have to give it to you. I have to give it to you just like God gave it to me, so we can get out of here, walk out of here, and live this thing. being informed. That's what Paul said. I don't want you to be ignorant. These folks died in the wilderness. It's alarming. Because they got involved in the wrong stuff and forgot about the promise that God had. Family, don't forget what God has for you. And what God has for you is so much better than what the world is offering. So here we go. We got a few minutes. You know how we do it. When we stop, we're going to stop and then we'll pick it up next week. Remember, it's a link sausage. We just cut it off. We eat and we eat the next one next week. Amen. Oh, my gosh. Okay, let's see. I got some read this. Oh, my gosh. Oh, whoa. Okay. So Paul is saying in verse 8, he said they got comfortable fornicating and hanging out with prostitutes, hanging out on Figueroa and Long Beach Boulevard and PCH and in the middle of the wilderness, committing adultery in the wilderness, committing homosexuality in the wilderness, committing bestiality in the wilderness, strip clubs in the wilderness, pornography in the wilderness, pedophilia in the wilderness, any other type of sexual sin and debauchery in the wilderness. This was their daily practice. It was their lifestyle. That's a problem. What do you do while you're in the wilderness for 40 years? You forget the promise of God and you do your own thing. We know there's nothing new under the sun. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's go to Numbers. Let's look exactly what was going on. Let's go to Numbers 25. Paul said this is written so we can learn from it. All I can say to my youth is that, is as I've taught you, that God created sex for husband and wife, and it's great and it's good. But of course, Satan has to twist that. Say, do your own thing. You can't watch TV. You can't pick up a magazine without it's tempting. You can't go on social media without somebody trying to draw you in. And then here we go. We pick it up here. Numbers 25. All right. 25 and 1. And know that Israel is God's people. So these are God's people. So Israel remained in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. So they're hanging out there in the wilderness, and they say, we're just going to hang out with these prostitutes. The children of God made that decision. Verse 2, and they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods. The people did eat and bowed down to their gods. Keep in mind, they're in the wilderness. They're trying to get to where God wants them to go. And they decide to take a detour and get distracted. Verse 1, let me paraphrase. The people of God chose to stay and sleep with prostitutes in the middle of the wilderness, forgetting all about God and his promise and their purpose to do their own thing. If you see in verse 2 how the sexual sins led to worship. Now they're eating their sacrifices to the false gods. People did eat and bow down to eat the food offered to false gods. So sexual sins, make a note, sexual sins lead to idol worship. Because you begin to worship the act and the person. You begin to do what they say and not what God says. Nobody going to talk to me this morning. I'm going to keep making it plain, though. We call it being turned out. And you start asking questions like, well, why is she with that guy? Why is she following that guy? Why are they shacking up? Because you done got turned out. You're starting to worship the act and the person, and you forget about God. Why would she do that? Why is he with her? She moved in with him. What? You're kidding. Why would she do that? She wasn't raised like that. Sexual sins are intoxicating. It doesn't discriminate based on your age, your gender, your socioeconomic status. It affects everyone, from the president to a pauper. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Can walk in with your title if you want to. Proverbs 7, it told us many strong men. I don't care how strong you are, brother. We know if you set yourself up, you go somewhere you're not supposed to be, and you hang out with someone you're not supposed to be hanging out with, anything can happen. And your title, it don't matter. I don't care what your title is. It could be pastor. And we know that's happened to pastors before. In our youth, you can't set yourself up. You know you just can't go. Well, I'm going over to his house for homework. It might start off like that. Let me keep reading because y'all are trying to get me distracted. You will appear to lose your mind and do things you never thought you'd do. Like, really? Is she really? She moving to where? To follow him? That? She's dealing with, are you kidding? You will appear to lose your mind and do things you never thought you would do because you've allowed yourself to be influenced by sex and not by the Holy Spirit. No, good and well, you're just not going over to watch Netflix and chill. Can't set yourself up. You can't set yourself up, young adults, youth, you can't. And see, and look, you say, well, look, pastor. And you know, hey, we all have been there and done that. This is what I'm saying, though. You got to realize, I'm not talking, I'm not judging. They never got to where God wanted them to go. They never got to the promise and the purpose that God had for them. They settled for less. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to get in your business. I got too much of my own. I don't even care about your business. I don't. And so let me say it again. Call three before you call me. But this is what I do care about. I do care about you not dying in dysfunction in the wilderness and never reaching the plan and the purpose that God has for your life. That's what I do care about. And that's present company included. That's why I hang out with my men. That's why we challenge and encourage each other and have each other's back. Because you're not going to do this alone. You're lying to yourself. I'm going to tell you right now. You're lying to yourself. And anybody tells you, oh, I'm good. I just stay at home and I got my own little. You lying. And you're in the wilderness. And you're going to die in that dysfunction. The rest we got to pick up next week. So let's go ahead and bow our heads. We're going to pray and then we're going to dismiss. All I can say, God, help us not to set ourselves up. We can't walk onto a school campus. We can't walk onto a school campus. We can't walk into the grocery store without seeing a magazine or something with. We can't watch the game without the commercials trying to entice us to go somewhere to get a Corona, Netflix, and chill with somebody. But God, we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Give us this common sense not to set ourselves up, Lord. And it's not about what we're doing. It's about what we will never get to in God. The purpose that God has for us, the plan that God has for us, the promise that God has for us. And if we don't make it out the wilderness, then we never get to experience the complete, fulfilled life, ministry, business, marriage, adulthood, parenthood. We never experience the fullness of God. God, in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your side is pleasures forevermore. It's all in you, God. Help us not get distracted and die in our dysfunction in the wilderness. God, we need you more than ever. God, we need, strengthen us for the journey ahead. Pray for all those under the sound of my voice, Lord. Strengthen us for the work ahead. Don't let us get distracted in the wilderness. Don't let us settle for less in the wilderness. Don't let us compromise in the wilderness. Surround us with good, godly people that we can walk with. Strengthen each other, Lord. Hold accountable, be accountable too, as we all try our best to navigate through a fallen, broken, dying, decaying world. And when we fall, Lord, we're going to get right back up, confess and forsake the sin. God, we thank you that in Christ there's no condemnation. It's all justification through Jesus Christ. And then there's sanctification for us to live right each and every day. We thank you for that, Lord. Don't let us settle for less. Don't let us get away with nothing. Don't let us compromise our character, Lord, for the moment. For any moment, help us, God. Lord, I pray maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. My first step is to say, Christ, I need you in my heart. And that's how we can do all things, through Christ who strengthens us, because Christ is in our heart. Maybe you want to get saved this morning. Saved means to be rescued. And God's been tugging on your heart saying, I need God. I need Christ in my life. I need Christ in my heart. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. If you've never accepted Christ, say, Pastor, I want to get saved this morning. I want to connect with Christ. Or maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I've been all over the place, just out there in the wilderness, being deceived and deceiving myself. I got to get reconnected with God. The word says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't condemn yourself. God doesn't condemn you. That's why we need a Savior. The sin reminds us that we need a Savior. The word reminds us that we need a Savior. Thank God for Jesus. So if you need to rededicate your life, that's between you and God. You don't need to raise your hand. That's a heart-to-heart connection. It's not about a show. It's about you connecting your heart to God's heart. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Said he moves our sins, removes our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to touch again. Thank you, Lord. As we all rededicate some form or fashion of our life to you. God, we want to do better. We're not going to settle for less. And we're not definitely not going to stay the same. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've been looking for a church home. And from the worship to the word, I need a place to be. And I'd like to join with South Bay Abundant Life Church this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. We're not just members, we're family. So Lord, we thank you and we bless you, God. We accept the challenge to take a stand. Satan's not playing, the world's not playing. Even the school district has been infiltrated and they're not playing. God, don't let us play. Let us pray, let us fast, let us read the word daily. Let us open our mouth and declare that Jesus is Lord. You can be born again. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through Christ. He is the true and living God. Let us declare that. Let us live that. Let us believe that. Let us allow our light to shine. So we thank you, Lord, and we love you. Bless your people. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.